Okay, a very good morning to all of you. Welcome to the Sunday Bible Hour. I trust that all of us have a good week and looking forward for another better week ahead. Okay, let's start, look to the Lord first and then commit this time to the Lord. How about that? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We ask that you will quieten our hearts. Ask that the Holy Spirit will so fill us and that we will yield our mind and our heart and our soul to the working of the Holy Spirit and to bring the remembrance of your mercy and grace, your goodness, your blessings, and Lord, that you will cause our heart to want to come before you and to seek after you and to, Lord, even this time that you will, in a very personal way, touch us and deal with us and speak to us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word again, even for this morning. Sunday Bible Hour, the matter of your great commission to us all. Father, I just pray that though we may have heard this many times, and yet we pray that you will help us to just, even as we go through this lesson, that you will increase our burden and help us to see the reality of this important of the great commission and how the souls need this gospel badly and in this sinful and dark world. Father, we just pray that you will bless each and every one of us and speak to us and those that are on the way, grant them safety, Lord. Just commit now this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Just by way of introduction, how many of us who have come to know the Lord for some reason, by whatever, is because of someone who have taken the time to either share with us the gospel or give us a gospel tract or brought us to a evangelistic meeting or sat down with us and show us from the Bible what it means to be saved and how through that encounter that we came to know the Lord. How many of us is... You came to know a lot by yourself. You know, for some reason you thought of you want to know God and then you go to the, just grab a Bible and then you read and then, or you get someone to come and share the gospel with you. I mean, just out of the blue, I'm saying, not saying that after you go to church and then the Lord burden you. How many of us actually, because of someone, we have come to know the Lord? I'm sure majority, in fact, I believe all of us. It's just that the way, the circumstances that the Lord uses, the people to reach us, and the grace of God came upon us, and the saving knowledge and the saving grace was made known to us. So, even when I think about this topic this morning for Christ's Great Commission, I was kind of thinking how to go about to help us all, even myself. We have heard so many times, even for pastors who have been on the pulpit, mentioning it and emphasizing it, and even our church. We tried, by the grace of God, to be faithful to this great commission. But yet I pray that even as we go through this morning, we continue to open our hearts and minds to ask the Lord to increase or to make it a more reality that in our life this will become impressed upon our hearts even further. Okay? Alright. The evangelization of the world, we all know by now, is the supreme task of the church. And that it is a plan of God for the redemption of the world through world evangelization. And we also find in the next few verses of the portion of the scripture, that it is the plain command of Christ through the Great Commission. The word Great Commission sometimes can be quite misleading because it says that the Great Commission, it seems like there's one like that, you know. But in fact, if you look at the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even the book of Acts, the Great Commission was given in many occasions by our Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection and to many people. Of course, first to his disciples and to those that were in the day of Pentecost, you know. So the reason why it is called the, first of all, it's a great commission. According to Brother David Clough, he gave a definition. It's the name for the work of world evangelism that Christ preached after he rose from the dead. And the reason why it is called Great Commission, because it has been repeated 5 times in the Bible. All right, in the 4 Gospels as well as in the book of Acts. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, and also Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 48, John chapter 20, 21, and then Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, we're going to just, as a way of going into this topic, we'll just read the first part of the scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. We've read this many, many times, all right, in the course of the preaching of Pastor Johnny and some other people. But let's read it again. Let's turn to our Bible to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Shall we stand as we read the Word of God? There are only 3 verses, so 18, 19. So let's read together. Okay. Ready? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to examine 4 passages of the scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now, John, we will just have a brief one, but the 4 main ones will be Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, and then Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 48, and then, Mark 16, 15 before that. And then finally, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. All right? You look at the Bible, there is this repetition, not just in the Great Commission, but in many parts, even in the teaching of the Bible. Sometimes we see that it is being repeated in different part of the Bible. In the Bible, repetition has got 2 purposes. One is for emphasis, to stress that it is something that is dear and something that is important and God wants us to take note. The other one is for instruction. And this is what happened here in the 4 passages of the Bible. The repetition is to emphasize as well as to give us a better understanding. Matthew may cover certain aspects of the Great Commission, but in Luke, it gives us another add-on. Certain thing that the Lord wants us to take note about what is further involved in this Great Commission. And then, of course, in the book of Mark also and Acts. So when we study these 4 passages and even in John chapter 20, verse 21, we will have a complete understanding of what is involved in Christ's Great Commission. Because in today's, as far as many churches are concerned, when many churches look at the Great Commission differently and do even in this matter of evangelization of the world, is not a complete instruction that God has for us. So it's very important for us to be in mind that the world evangelization of the gospel has to be fully adhered to according to the teaching of the Bible in these passages. All right. So in the book of Matthew, we see that the authority for the Great Commission. All right, in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them and said, All power is given unto me. Okay, the authority of the Great Commission is something that very important for us to take note, because when we go and share with someone about the gospel, or even for missionary to go into a hidden land or to go and proclaim the gospel, he goes with the authority. He goes with, in the name of Jesus. That we may be able to speak boldly, that we may be able to share with people that this is something that we have been empowered, given the authority to. You know, it's just like I was thinking about this word commission. Then I was thinking of the word commission officer. And then sometimes in the Navy, we have the ships that are being built. And then when they are all ready, all the sea trial, all the testing of the equipment and everything is completed, and they're ready to be used to serve as part of the national defense, they have to be commissioned. And the reason why it has to be commissioned, because so that the flag can be flown, that is that little long triangular flag. It has to be flown up to show that this ship represents the authority of the country to do its work, to protect the waters and to defend the country, and even to confront anybody that violates the territorial sovereignty. And with this authority, we have the right to go there and to do whatever that is needed to be done based on the law of the country. So I guess with the Great Commission, the authority is given to us to boldly preach the gospel. And for a lot of time, you know, this thing didn't occur to me until perhaps even I was studying. Sometimes when we go and we share the gospel, we always have this, personally for me, that we don't have the boldness because we lack of this understanding that God gave us this authority. Just go and share. And even in the midst of a stranger, we can just boldly declare, because the authority is given to us to just preach the gospel, you know. And that will help us to say, Lord, in your name, I'm going to share this gospel, and that you will do the work, and I just, you know, take the authority and use it accordingly. So there is the authority to preach the gospel, because there are some people that have this idea that religion is a private matter, and that don't talk to me about your Jesus Christ and all this, you know. But when we think about it, with this matter of authority, it helps us to be able to persuade us further, like, you know, to say, yeah, I know it is as a private matter, but as far as the gospel is concerned, I would want to share with you because of the authority that I have from God. I mean, I just thought that this idea would further encourage us and give us the boldness to preach the gospel or to share the gospel. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 20 that we are actually ambassador for Christ. It says that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And in verse 20, it says that now then we are ambassador for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And there is this, you know, I was kind of meditating about this. Why do we want to go, even though we know that Christ gave us authority, but what makes us want to go and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and that want them to know about what is involved in the gospel? Because the fact is that we are beneficiary of the gospel. We was once, because of the grace of God, because somebody came and shared with us a gospel that gave us that reality about our condition before God, and tell us what will happen to us, and help us through the word of God, the gospel. And for that we will say, for that our life was changed, for that we, from darkness we go into life, a light, from death to life, from bondage to freedom, you know. And when we think about this matter of, now we have this message as an ambassador for our Lord Jesus Christ, that to tell people to come and be reconciled. I think a lot of time we have to ask God to help us to, from where I came from, and what God has done for us, and how people have done for us, because of the love for our soul, and that we must also have that, I believe, that motivation, that gratitude to say, Lord, you have saved me, and it's just right that when we see that how God snatched us from the pit of hell, that we also want to see. I just pray that God will help us all when we go about, that this will be in our mind, our heart, that it will be a very personal thing that God has touched us, and that is our there's a love for the soul because we have been through it. We see how is it. You know, I see that there are many, last time when we were in worshipping and helping hand, there are many people who got saved and later on who became pastor. And their desire is that they want to go back to their own people, you know, people who are under the bondage of drugs. And they went back to minister to them, to tell them how God also have brought them out from the same kind of bondage. All right, so we have the authority. Next, we see that the work that is involved in doing the Great Commission, there is a lot of work involved. And the first thing is that in verse 19, the Bible tells us that we are to preach the gospel. All right, so I'm going to go through very quickly. Then we are to baptize those who believe, and then we are to make disciples of those who believe. And if you look at these three aspects of the what is involved in the Great Commission, you will find that it involves a church. It requires the whole church effort. Okay, so we can alone do much, but with as a church, we can. There are many. I was thinking about also this. Why do we go so winning? Well, personally, how would it bless us? You know, it's the same thing like when I was day in, day out, when I deal with my patient, you know, I see the reality of illness, of people suffering, and whatever reason they come in. And then it sort of reminds me, you know, in touch, you know, you're being reminded every day. So when I believe when we go soul winning, it gives us a reality also about what's the condition of. You help us to have a burden. You help us to see the darkness, the bondage, and how many people need the gospel. Okay, so in fact, there are a lot covered by Brother Cloud here. But I was thinking how to make it simple when it comes to these three part about. Preaching the gospel, baptize those that believe, and then disciple those who believe also. Okay? It is something that we need to consider when we talk about this part of the passage. Because the work is so tremendous that it is not like what Pastor had mentioned so many times. It's not just getting the people saved. We need to get them to come to church. Then, of course, the baptism in itself, it's a lot of work involved. How to, through the teaching of the Bible, that the person will want to testify of his new faith or her new faith. And then it's evident of that inward working of the grace of God in his life. And now the person wants to publicly testify of that new life and acknowledge his that salvation that was given to him. So there's a lot of work. What I'm trying to say is this. It's not only getting a person saved, not only getting the person to take the first step of obedience so that he can be blessed and that he can progressively grow, because by being baptized, he can be serving in the church and be involved in the ministry and all those kind of things. There are also that part of discipling those who believe. And I think discipleship is something that we have been trying very hard also, whether individually or corporately. I guess it is always like people saying, you know, getting married is easy, but keeping the marriage and maintaining the marriage, that's the hardest, the part that requires a lot of work. I believe in the same thing in the church. The discipling part is something that we need to really be very, very mindful, because it makes no sense that you get the person saved, you get the person baptized, but then if you don't disciple them properly along the way, you know, for some reason, they no longer are in the church, you know, or living for the Lord and serving the Lord and doing whatever that the will of God has for them. So I just want to impress upon our hearts that as a church, we need to make sure that we carry out this work not only to go out and even this coming evangelistic meeting, the Christmas event, to get people to come and hear the gospel, but there is a lot more work after that, you know, to sit down with the person, to take them in and then watch them and then how to slowly ground them in the faith. All right, so it requires, in Matthew chapter 28, it shows us that we have the authority for the Great Commission. Then the work that is involved, it requires preaching, baptizing, making disciples, and therefore it requires the effort of the whole church. We also see in verse 20, there is this matter of the promise associated with the Great Commission. All right? Verse 20, okay? Teaching them to observe all things. That is the discipleship part. Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. That is the promise of the presence of Christ. And then there is the promise of the power of Christ. All right? Even unto the end of the world. In verse 18, it says, all power. Of course, the one also represents authority. But, you know, sometimes when I think about going, even standing and sharing of the faith and anything, the thing that I always learn is to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to just say what God wants me to say, you know. The matter of the power to... But I always say, God, you, as long as you're with me, just work in my heart to say, I just want to... you take over and then let you be glorified. And then whatever I say is according to what you want me to say. You know? So it's very important that when we go soul winning and all those, that we depend on God and take upon God's power, and knowing that Christ with us, He will teach us what to say and help us through the Holy Spirit. Okay. Next, we move on to the next passage in the Bible, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16. The Bible tells us that, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world. By the way, in Matthew chapter 28, the word teacher is also the same as preaching. Okay? Preaching to them the gospel and teaching them all things whatsoever. And Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16, we see that there is an aspect of baptism. Okay? For you say that, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So we see here the gospel is to preach to every person, not only to every nation. Okay? Every person would mean, it doesn't mean whether, you know, sometimes when we think about this, some kind of hindrance, I believe, or he's a Buddhist, he's a very staunch one, and whatever it is, very hard, you know. But then yet, we know that the gospel is even for them. For the Muslim, for the Hinduism, for anybody. It's for everybody of every race, of every religion and everything. As long as they have not come to hear the gospel, we are to even preach the gospel to every person. But of course, in our context, we need to be wise, because there are some so-called the law, you know, religious harmony and all this. But yet, I believe if there be opportunity for us to share even with people of a different faith, we should make every effort and every opportunity to do so. Because who knows, God, I believe God can use that to, you know, as I believe in many parts of the world, there are many Muslims that have been saved. There are many Hindu, there are many other who came from other faith, religious faith. Because of the gospel, they also got saved. So that's something that we need to ask God to help us, that is to be preached to all people, okay, to every creature. And then here I want to this brother Cloud talk a little bit about infant baptism, which is actually a very big topic by itself. But the fact is that baptism is for believer, because the person who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and must come by faith and must have that knowledge of sin and repentance of sin and all that is involved in the saving grace. So, logically, an infant can never do that. So, for that matter, I think baptism is definitely for those who have been regenerated, who have by faith trusted the Lord and understood the saving grace of the gospel. And then baptism follows salvation as a testimony and evidence thereof. Of course, Pastor have dealt with many of the people that have expressed their desire to want to join the church and stressed many times that baptism is an act of obedience, is a step of your, it's an expression of your love for God and a testimony to the people around you that there is a change in your life and you have a, you want to proclaim your faith to all the people. But this baptism does not save you. Alright? In fact, there are other part of the Bible that talks a lot about this matter of baptism. In the book of Romans, let me just go to 1 Corinthians 1:17. Trying to correlate with all this. Okay, let me see. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:17. The Bible tells us that for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, not with word of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So there is this matter of baptism does not save. Because if baptism saves, then the cross of Christ will be made of none effect. Paul himself make it very clear. Alright. Then in the book of 1 Corinthians also, chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. Okay. Baptism is not the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Okay. So, baptism does not save, because the Bible makes it very clearly it is Christ that saves us. Alright, so in the book of Mark, there is a dealing with this matter of talking about baptism, but we need to be very careful that because some people believe that baptism is an indication, or rather, baptism saves you, which is not that case, okay? The next passage we want to look at is Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 48, which deal with another aspect of the Great Commission. Let me just read Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 48. The Bible tells us, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he the understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Here we find that the Bible tells us that it was necessary for Jesus to suffer, and because there is no other way. Jesus is the only way. Even the Bible tells us, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh after me, but come after the Father, but by me. So, because there is no other way for sinner to be saved, and then when we think about Christianity, it is not what I can do for God. It is what, or rather, it is not what I do for God, but what God has done for me in Christ. So, the part about trusting the work of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross is a very important aspect, because it will eliminate this matter of work by salvation by work. Okay? And then we find that repentance also is being mentioned. It's part of the Great Commission in verse 47. Because the Bible tells us when there's no remission of sins, there's no repentance. Remission of sin. And I believe this is a part that many churches have not put into it in the preaching of the gospel, even in the Great Commission they have been carried. I heard many preachers, of course over the internet and all those, when they come to this part of the gospel, they simply just ask for people to come to Jesus and believe. And then, of course, some do mention about forgiveness of sin, but seldom I hear emphasis, or rather there is an elaboration on the part of repentance, which is so very important, because how can a person come before God and believe if he has not looked into his own sin and repented from his sin and then turned to God and then thereby seek God for the forgiveness? Because of the sin, that's why we need God's forgiveness. But if we don't preach repentance, and that repentance is not something that is a reality in our mind, our heart, and our soul, when we come and so-called believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sin will still not be taken care of, you know. So I think it's something that when we, in the course of our sharing the gospel, that may we mindful about the doctrine of, rather the teaching of repentance in them. It's very important. And that's why, as you have covered three passages, you find that each passage supplement and complement the Great Commission to give us a complete understanding of when we carry out the Great Commission, that it will be, nothing will be missed out. All right? Then we see in that repentance is part of the Great Commission. There is no remission of sin without repentance. Which means that to turn from false God and to surrender to God's authority. And then we find in verse 48 also that each believer is responsible to participate in this work of the Great Commission. Verse 48 says, "And the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." We are witnesses of this thing. That's why early on when I mentioned that, you know, when we go and share the gospel, it is very important that we ourselves have that experience, tasted, you know, the goodness of God and the forgiveness of sin, the freedom to live for God, and there's no more that bondage, you know, of sin in our life. And that when we share, we, you know, it's very, God uses that to really, to work, to make the sharing more effective. All right? What I mean is it really helps you to strengthen your own, remind you about what God has done. You know, the more actually, you know, I find that the more when you talk about your own salvation, the more you think about how God has saved you, and then what God has done for you, and the life that God has blessed you, the more it helps you to be able to share your faith easily. And the more we share the gospel completely, the more efficient, I would say, we present the gospel in a more balanced way, in a clearer way. So I want to, even myself, I'm encouraging myself to go out and to share the gospel more often through the tracking. Because it's where you practice, it's where you really ask God to help you to go to the individual and just share, just talk about what God has done and what do you learn, what have you learned from the Word of God with regards to this matter of salvation, and how what God has done for your life and things like that. Alright, so in the book of Gospel of Luke, we see that this aspect of repentance is part of the Great Commission, and that every believer is responsible to participate in this Great Commission. Then in the book of Acts, we find that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Bible tells us another part of the gospel, the Great Commission. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. So we see that, first of all, the work is the church chief business. Okay, Pastor Johnny has been emphasizing this also, and I totally agree that the church exists for only one purpose, is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring forth the gospel and to fulfill the Great Commission as we have learned early on, to preach, to baptize, you know, get people to be baptized and join, and then to disciple them, and then there is that cycle of repeating itself and multiplying it, you know, in this pattern. Though it may seem simple, but when you look at it, it involves so many things. And it's something that we, of course, we need to keep reminding ourselves about this mission. I believe in many organizations in Singapore, in my hospital, you know, I don't know about other hospitals, but when every morning we have roll call, and every time we have to read this thing called basic. We have basic 1 to 20. And we just keep going on every day. So everyone take turn to read the basic. And then the organization also have this mission and vision and value. They have this M, mission, vision and value. So we will always have to recite this mission, this vision and this value. Why are we doing what we're doing and all those. After a while, really it does create a kind of culture where whatever we do, we always remind ourselves, why are we doing all this? Who are we doing for? And what is involved in doing all this? And we just keep sort of like inculcating, you know, and helping one another, reminding one another about the different aspects of our work. But all points to one direction. That is, what is our mission? What is our vision? What is the value that we hold and everything? So I believe that even for this matter of as a church, many times we need to always remind ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing, you know, and what is our mission and our vision and our value and all those. And if we do that, I believe God will help us to, will preserve us, will protect us, and will use us from what they call generation to generation. But if we lose this vision about the Great Commission and why we are here for, then we will be no different than many times. Many churches that fall into it. It's like a social club. It's like come here and feel good, and then we just have a good time together, and then that's it. But when we go out of this place, we are not much different than we used to be. So what God has meant for us as a church, to perpetuate the Great Commission and then also to use us, that our life may be blessed. I believe it works both ways. When God, when we are used of God to do this Great Commission work, including preaching, baptizing, and discipling, because it involves us, we also, all this must be done in the reality that this is the vision, this is the mission, and how we live our life must match. In fact, I think I'll cover the next part, which is what is the thing that, what do you call that? How can we as believer fulfill the Great Commission individually? Because I don't think I have time to cover that. We may need to cover that the next week. Anyway, like in the book, the work, the Great Commission is the chief business of the church, okay, in the book of Acts. And you find that in the book of Acts, it tells us the scope of the Great Commission. It says it is not just in Jerusalem, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria. As you know, Samaria is the place that many Jews wouldn't want to go. But yet, that's precisely what God wants us to do. To go to places that the gospel has not been heard. And to the uttermost part. That means to cover every part of the world. And I was reading this book, trying to just get... this was something that we had to study many, many years back. It's called The Bible and World Mission. Basically, it's talking about having a mission-minded kind of thinking to also bring the gospel to every part of the world. Why we need to have mission? I was trying to ground, sort of remind myself, why God saved us in the first place? Why are we doing here? Why are we coming to church, you know? And then all the very simple reason. Because God has given us this mission in our life. Whatever we are doing, whatever vocation we are, all our mission is the same. Is to fulfill the great God, to be a witness, to be an ambassador, to through us the gospel may be preached or shared or whatever you put it, that people may come to know the gospel through us, you know, directly or indirectly, either a gospel tract, either through our lives. You know. I remember when I was first time joined the Navy, 17 years old, 16, in fact, not even 17. Then I thank the Lord for arranging a Christian to be my roommate. I have never heard of the gospel. Then every day, night he was reading his Bible. It was just curiosity, it was just something that, you know, I just want to know what he's doing. Then there was the invitation given to me to go to church. At that time, you know, my background is I'm a very simple kind of person, you know, not much of. In those days, we're just so straightforward. Okay, friend, and he was a very nice person. His testimony was wonderful. So he brought me to church. Then, of course, when I was in church, I was like, don't know what to do, you know, trying to figure out and trying to sort it. But the thing that he did that causes me to have is he invited me to a gospel rally. I still remember in those days, in the time when I went was the National Theatre, you know, the old National Theatre, .1. Then there was this, I still remember the missionary from Philippines, Luni Lahe Lahe, I don't know whether you heard of it. I still remember his name. I still remember the first hymn I heard, To God Be the Glory, Blessed Assurance. And every time when I sing that two songs, it always bring me back to that. And how when the gospel was preached, I was asked to go down to the aisle and then pray the sinner's prayer. I still remember that day. And then, of course, when I went to the church, it was not a Baptist church. It was another denomination. So God gave me the hunger to want to search. I want to know God. I want to know what. Then it so happened when I went to the church, there was this cross there. And then it says that Emmanuel. Oh no, that was way after I left the church and go. But I saw the cross there. The cross reminded me of God. And now, when I go to church, my heart was saying, God, I just come here, I want to know you. I just want to learn more, but there's a hunger. Even though I don't know anything. And sad to say, I wasn't follow up. So after a while, in being in the Navy as a young person, you know, struggle a lot with some sin. You know, those matter of like drinking and things like that. It was a short while. I'm not, you know, just some pressure. But thank God, actually I backslided for about 1 year, 2 years. But my sister was in a Baptist church. So I still remember the lady that came and visit was Sister Betty. Talked to me, Betty Lang. You can remember all these kind of things because these are your key, the people that God uses to bring me back. And then I was invited to Emmanuel Baptist Church. First time I stood there, same thing, the cross. Sometimes it's good to put the cross in. And the word Emmanuel. And I was told Emmanuel means God with us. So I just keep telling my God, you're with me, God with me. I was a very simple, poor, you know, I wear a track shoe, short, don't know what, I just go. But my heart was, just, I want to know God, I want to learn. There was a hunger. That's all I know. And I never did really get out of that struggle with the sin until I heard the preacher preach if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all. And when the word was preached and the promise was given, my heart was free. That from then onward, Satan has no effect on me on that part. I just confess and I move on. And God brought good Christian man in my life, into my life, on board ship. I still remember his name, Charles Chua. It was called to the this ship, you know, Doulos. They follow the mission and all. Then we keep in touch for many years and all. I still keep all his letters. Very dear to me because it reminds me of the journey, how God preserved. And from then onward, I was with Emmanuel Baptist, baptized there. And of course, there were many wonderful years of serving the Lord and just giving my life to the Lord and serving all those deaf ministry, Vietnamese ministry, and all those kind of things. So, you know, when we think about this, it is important for us to get back and then to think about why are we here? Because of what God has done for us. Then we must, ultimately, we live our life only for God. Ultimately, because that's what God saved us for. And the Great Commission is one way to express that faith. And of course, there is the joy of witnessing and telling people. And may God help us to have that joy, to have that you know, that it's so wonderful to be able to share the gospel. It is that privilege, it is that honor, it is that because of you, God used you as an instrument of His grace. All right, so we find here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that is that, of course, before I finish, this part is very important, is to that we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. We must walk in fellowship with Him and seek His power. This is what prayer is about. It's about acknowledging our need of Him and seeking His help. And then, that's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, 1, 12 to 14. All right, there is the matter of this, the Holy Spirit being sealed in each believer as soon as we trust Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, that we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Even until today, when I go out interacting, I always pray God, the Holy Spirit, to help me to just say what He wants me to say. Of course, I've learned also through the... It's good to... I think this matter of soul winning class is something that we may want to consider, because in the hospital, I had the opportunity to go to every patient, smile, hello, how are you, good morning, how's your breakfast, are you sleeping well, how you, any pain and all those. But it's really our concern. You know, I developed some time. There's one patient I always, she's been there for quite some time, but she's a Christian lady. And whenever I met Christian people, I always have a heart, special heart for them. I would just, free time, I'll just go there and visit them, sit down there and ask them, talk to them, hear them. You know, they will tell me about some of the woes and something that they happened. And it becomes something that I enjoy and something that is part of me. You know, to go around to just express your care and concern and just be there to listen or just be there to want to be an encouragement. So every time when I go out, I just tell the Lord to just help me to do that. And just knock on the door, be friendly and ask God to give me that disposition, you know, whatever the heart. Of course, asking the Holy Spirit to give me the wisdom and the power how to say whatever I need to say. And I thank God for that. And this one is something that we have to practice it. We have to do it. We have to make it part and parcel of our personality or character or whatever. I believe, like what Brother Desmond said, the more we learn to obey God, the more we learn to live for God, the easier it is. It gets better and better. You know, and it's something that the more we do that which is of God and live the way that God wants us to live, I believe it's about lifestyle. You know, the black dog and the white dog and all those kind of things, the sinful nature and the new nature and all those. If we live more for the new nature, we become more and more easy, you know, and to live for the new nature. In any case, I just want to encourage all of us that we have God the Holy Spirit indwell in us. All we just have to do is just ask the Holy Spirit to take over and give us, teach us how to do the Great Commission and give us the boldness and the power to just preach, you know. And we need to depend on God to do the work of the Great Commission. Basically, that's Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and also the scope of our work in Great Commission. That's why we do support missionary, we send out missionary, though we cannot go to the different part of the world, but God can use us to support these people to reach out to this uttermost part of the world. Okay, of course, this book that I just mentioned, it's telling us why we need to have this world mission, because it's the word of God, it's the plan of God. The plan of God in the redemption of man is through the Great Commission and the mission. And something that we need to ask God to help us to really be faithful and all those. All right, so our job is to live Jesus Christ. We are to be witnesses of Him when we talk to people about the things of God, and we should talk about Christ rather than about the church or Christianity. This is from Brother David Clark. And it's a good reminder, because sometimes we get into this argument or this, you know, back and forth about other things other than the gospel. And this is something that I always remind myself. Whenever I come across someone who I try to witness and they try to dwell in all this, I always say, you know, I know you are very, but let me ask you this. Have you settled this very, very first and foremost simple thing first? You know, about this matter of your sin and then God and whatever it is. I always try, not, I say, okay, I cannot answer you, but maybe perhaps another time I'll come back. But now I just want to come and to share with you about this, the gospel and all this. Sometimes it's good to just learn to cut and rather get engaged and then try to prove your point. You prove my point, I prove your point, and all those kind of, and then you just drag and we miss the point after that. All right, nobody get the point. That's interesting, isn't it? Think about it. Okay, so I hope this morning that you will, after going through these few passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of Acts, and even John 20, 21, let me just read to you. And then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father had sent me, even so send I you." God the Father has sent the Son to do the work that the Lord Jesus Christ need to do in order for the redemption of man. He has done it. Now Jesus sent us to do His, what He wants us to do, our part of the work, for the continuation of the redemption of man. The redemption of man cannot be reached out to the creature of all this world unless we are being obedient to the Great Commission. There's no way. Just like when I got saved, when you got saved, who is the one that brought let you to Christ? It's because they share with you the gospel. They bring you to somewhere where the gospel can be preached to you. And then, of course, thank God that there was the discipleship part that was take a long process. But I think one final thing I want to stress is this matter of that we need to be thankful for a church that teaches and preaches and uphold the word of God. Because what I am today is the product of the preaching and the teaching, and on your own, the learning and the desire and whatever. The Word of God is the sure foundation of our faith. No other way. Because that's how we keep ourselves faithful and true. And that's how we keep ourselves free. Because the Bible says, truth shall set us free. All right. Many people do not have the truth through the gospel. They need the gospel. May God help us. May God have mercy even on all of us. That this will never be the same way when we think about the Great Commission, but we'll have a greater appreciation, greater sense for the urgency and for the importance. And God use us to be the Great Commission, bring forth this, fulfill the Great Commission. All right? Okay, why don't we just look to the Lord and pray and ask God to just speak to us, and then we'll stop here, and then we'll have the break and come back for the service later on. Come, let's pray. Father, we come before you. We ask that you help us to take a good look at this Great Commission that you have personally given to us through the Bible, to the apostle, to your disciples, and many people at Pentecost. And Lord, even I pray that you will help us to relook at this Great Commission, and then our hearts, our mind, our soul will be open, and that we will never be the same after this. That there will be a greater burden, for soul, that there will be urgency, the sense of urgency for the gospel, that there will be an examination of our life on our heart, because, Lord, how can we tell of people of the goodness of the gospel, the blessing that comes with it, and the freedom of sin and whatever that's involved, unless we in our own life, Lord, have experience and we have lived in a manner that is useful for you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you speak to every of one of us here, and then, Lord, that as a church, that we will be more involved in the Great Commission. And then, Lord, to not just the part of it, but all of it. And we just commit our Ambassador Baptist to you and pray that you will continue to have mercy on us, that we'll never forget what is our mission, individually as well as corporately, and then that we will always be guided by this mission and the existence of our church. And Lord, we just pray that you will grant us many more years to fulfill this great commission and to be in line with what you have for us, Lord. Just dismiss us now with your blessing, and as we have this little time for fellowship, bless the time of fellowship, Lord, and bring us back again to worship you later on at 11 o'clock, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.